In the past two weeks, I've been speaking about the Beatitudes, the character of the Christian disciple, as portrayed by Jesus when he began his Sermon on the Mount. And now Jesus goes on, after he's given the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, those that mourn, the meek, the pure in heart, etc. He goes on to say to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You handful of Jewish peasants here in Galilee, you fishermen who are my disciples, you will affect all the earth like salt and light. If the Beatitudes describe the character of the Christian disciple, now Jesus goes on to speak about his influence in society. What should our influence in our community, in our country, and in our world be? Well, we should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We have an effect on our community, you and me as individuals, or we should do. We should have an effect on our country. When we think of the church throughout this nation, it should affect our whole nation for good. And the church throughout the world, with its missionaries and others, should be the salt and light in all the earth. Someone said to me a short while ago, this country is in a terrible state. They meant by that young people are increasingly exposed to several things, to hardcore, vicious violence and pornography, which is destructive of all natural human love. We were saying in the Bible Hour this last week that these things on our television screens are not only an attack against Christian belief, they are an attack against human love. And this is what we are exposed to in our country today, as well as to alcohol and drug addiction. What is the future of our country? Is it possible for any government to get the economy right in such a condition? If you read when you get home Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, the last half of it, he describes a society which has first of all turned its back upon God in irrational and unreasonable unbelief, which he says then leads to promiscuity, which he then says leads to depravity and perversion, which he then says leads to disease coming in to society, which leads to violence and ignorance and lack of love. That's Paul's description at the end of Romans 1. Very relevant today. But Jesus says that you and I, as Christian believers, are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus means that the Christian disciple has a responsibility for the earth, for the world in which he lives. We don't just look out from our churches and say, isn't it bad outside in our country? No, we have a responsibility before God to affect our society for good. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We can't just wring our hands and say, isn't it terrible? We have a responsibility too. Some of us may feel we're too old to do much now. We are never too old. We can, however old and frail we are, at least be a praying people. And what power prayer has when we humbly intercede before God for our church, community, and nation. We can't just blame our governments, managements, trade unions, and televisions. We, the Christian disciples of Jesus, have a responsibility before God for our society in which we live. The church must not fail the world. We have to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The salt of the earth. Salt has a distinctive taste. And perhaps that distinctive taste of salt, which Jesus says must be ours, perhaps he means that our life in living by the Beatitudes, which he has just taught, should be the distinctive, as it were, taste or flavor of our Christian lives. The Christian disciple must not lose his character. He must keep to what Jesus teaches in the Beatitudes. If he does fail, and if he does ignore Jesus' teaching, then he is no use to his church or to his country. That's what Jesus means, if the salt has lost its savor. It's good for nothing except to be trampled on by men. What are the characteristics of salt? Well, firstly, it symbolized purity. The whiteness of the salt symbolized purity. And in a society where standards of honesty are changing, standards of morality are changing, standards of language are changing in blasphemy and suggestive jokes, the Christian disciple must not move with the tide. He must not lose his savor. Secondly, salt has the characteristic of bringing out the flavor in food. Food without salt is insipid to the taste. It may look nice and tasty, but if it has no salt, it will be insipid. And life without God may appear to be full and adventurous, but really deep down, it will have no meaning and will have an insipidness about it. Thirdly, and this is most important, salt is a preservative. Before the times of freezers and fridges, salt was added to the meat to stop it decaying. They rubbed the salt in so it would penetrate into the meat as an antiseptic, so that the germs which were latent in the meat would remain ineffective and the meat would not go bad. And when Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, he means that the presence of the Christian disciple in a community, in a society, in the world, should preserve it from going rotten. Our presence should preserve the world from going bad. Meat will always tend to go bad if you merely leave it. A sinful world will always have a tendency to go from bad to worse. So Christians, Jesus means, must penetrate the world like salt penetrates meat to stop its decay. We mustn't stay in our ecclesiastical salt cellars. Rather, we must be involved in Christian witness to all the world, to bear witness to Christ in word and deed and life in society where we live. You know that if a minister is in a room with other people, there are certain things that those people won't say. But that shouldn't just be because of a minister and his cloth, but each of us as Christian disciples should have a similar effect. We should live like Jesus taught us and witness to him in our lives in such a way as to effect for good the people amongst whom we live. If the salt loses its savour, that is, if the Christian disciple does not believe or live as a Christian, what then will happen to the society in which he lives? Actually, how can salt lose its savour? How can salt lose its taste? It can't, actually. Very well. Salt, as we know from our school chemistry, is something called sodium chloride, which is a very stable compound. And it doesn't easily lose its taste. So what did Jesus mean about the salt losing its savour? If you go down to the Dead Sea, which is in biblical times often called the Salt Sea, you will see a lot of white powder all round it. Now that white powder is largely salt, but it's also mixed with impurities, white dust. And because salt is soluble in water, it's easily washed out. And when that happens, all that's left is the white dust around the Dead Sea. It looks like salt, but it's not salt. It's lost its taste and its use. It's simply road dust, fit only to be scattered on the road to make footpaths, as Jesus said. If the salt has lost its savour, then it's only road dust. It's tragic always, isn't it, to see a well-known politician fall into corruption. But what is more tragic is to see a Christian leader fall into unbelief or corruption. I find it particularly tragic when bishops on the television and other clergy tell us they don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead in the normal meaning of that word. When they openly cast doubt on the teaching of the Word of God, I find that particularly tragic. If the salt has lost its savour, what good is it? Jesus doesn't say you are the sugar of the world. He says you're the salt of the earth. And sometimes the church in the nation simply wants to be the sweetener, the icing on the cake. When there are special national occasions, we'll add a little bit of religion to our society to make it sweeter and nicer. So religion has a place when there's royal weddings and other things to make everything look a little bit better, like icing on a cake. But Jesus didn't say you're the sugar of the world. He said you're the salt of the earth. And salt has a bite to it. The church must speak clearly and definitely about the evils of the world and the truths of the Word of God, with a definite bite, which is salt, the salt of the earth. So we have a twofold responsibility, to be the salt of the earth and also the light of the world, as Jesus said. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. We have no light of our own. We can only be the light to the world if Christ shines upon us through his word and spirit. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works." The word good there in the Greek in the New Testament doesn't just mean good, but it also means beautiful and attractive. The Beatitudes, which we were speaking about in the last 2 weeks, are not just good in the goody-goody sense, but there's something very strong and attractive and beautiful about them. And that is the word, you are the light of the world. And as Jesus says, a lamp is not put under a bowl or a bushel. Rather, its light must be seen. We must not hide our light. The church must not be like a village in a valley whose lights cannot be seen. It rather must be like a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. And if you go to the Holy Land, you'll see many villages and cities right on the top of the hills and the mountains, unlike in this country. And that's what Jesus meant. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men. Now the lessons we learn from this are that salt is useless if it's lost its taste, and light is useless if it's concealed under a bowl. We as Christians must not fail the world. There's a lot of despair in our country these days. We must give something which is real and true. We must show that God is real. His judgment is real, that peoples and nations will stand before him. That the Bible prophecy about what will happen to the world is also true. How anyone can disbelieve that, I don't know. That forgiveness from God through the cross of Jesus is real and offered to all. That there is a way of salvation. That we must live our lives by the light of Christ and by the Beatitudes which he taught. We have to give that clear message in word and the way we live our lives to our society. We have a twofold responsibility. First, negatively, we're to be the salt which stops the decay in our country. And positively, we have to be the light which illumines the darkness. In other words, we have to stop the spread of evil, that's the salt, and instead we have to spread truth, beauty, mercy and goodness, that's light. We are in the world to penetrate the world as salt penetrates meat. If the meat goes rotten, it's not the fault of the meat. The question is, where was the salt? And if our society goes wrong, where were the Christians? Where was the church? Had we lost our character as described by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? Had we stopped believing the gospel? No, we must allow the beauty of Jesus to be seen in us. Now, as soon as we say that, we realize how inadequate and helpless we are. Who are we in the face of such great forces against us? We feel inadequate. And I come back to that point again, that Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount with the words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If we realize we're inadequate, if we realize that we're too weak to affect our country, then we can come humbly before God and ask for his grace and power in us, and then he really will be able to do his work through us in our country. May that be true of us as a church and a people, that we really be, as Jesus told us, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Amen, and may God bless us all.